Everyone, welcome to another edition of the Bolt Crew Podcast. Dave Pallet, Josh Pallet, and Mario Heron talking Charger football with you. Again, Chargers finished game two against the Los Angeles Rams over the weekend. Comment about a lot of things that are going on in Chargerville as Chargers, again, have one more preseason game to go. That, again, against the Dallas Cowboys in Dallas. And then they start the regular season, and we're off and running. Now, I'll tell you right now, if you watch the Chargers and you're paying attention to the Chargers, and of course you are if you're paying attention to the show, again, subscribe and give us a like button while we're talking about it. But look, you got to be a little bit nervous here. I know it's preseason, and we talked about, you know, we talked big and brave a couple weeks ago about winning even preseason games and what it does for maybe the mentality of being a winner. But holy cow, man, when you can't score a touchdown in eight quarters, maybe it's time to worry a little bit.
So going into the season, we were told by Ravens fans, be prepared. You're going to run the ball a lot. It's not going to be the football you're used to. Who knows if you guys even like it? And we're like, you know what? Shut up. Worry about your own team. We have Justin Herbert. He makes everything good. I'm not concerned as you are, but it is very boring football. Like, objectively, watching these Charger games is extremely boring, and you'd like to think that it's going to be different when the season starts. But if the play calling is anything like it's been so far, it's very boring football.
It's like what my aunt told my cousin when he had braces and he was 14 years old. You're not easy on the eyes, and that is the Charger offense. It's not easy on your eyes at all. It's tough, man. It's tough to watch. And, you know, it is preseason, and there's, you know, you never want to put too much in a preseason. I preached that a lot last show. And, you know, just to keep in mind, like this time last year, Kenny Pickett looked really good. You know, two-glove Pickett, you're like, all right, maybe every quarterback should be wearing two gloves all the time and growing their hair out. Like everyone, you know, he looked fantastic. The Steelers offense looked fantastic. Then the season hit. Remembered Matt Canada is not a very good OC. And then Kenny Pickett did Kenny Pickett things. And now they brought in two different quarterbacks competing for a job. So is it terrible to watch, Dave? Absolutely. Is it brutal? Yes. Is there reason to worry? I don't think so, but I think the history of the Greg Roman offense and everyone in Baltimore screaming about, I hope The Wire, because it's a great show, and about how bad Greg Roman's offense is, that part can't help but get into your mind a little bit.
A little bit. It's awful. I mean, it's awful. Josh says, is it bad football? It's as bad as it gets. You know, watching the Chargers in preseason is like watching two old people have sex. Nobody wants to see that. And that's where I'm at right now. It is awful. It's bad football. It's not exciting. Look, I'm not expecting to flip their cards over. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying get into an end zone. And I'm telling you what, Jim Harbaugh is great at talking to the media as far as turning the conversation any which way he wants to go. If you watch Jim Harbaugh after that last game and the way he's talking, you could tell Jim Harbaugh wishes he had eight more preseason games. Like, they are nowhere close ready to start the season in his mind. The best thing to happen to the Chargers is their opponent in week one. Like, there's a very good chance they win that game because of who their opponent is. But if that was one of the tougher teams on their schedule, I think we'd all really be stressing out. Now, I'm tongue-in-cheeking it a little bit. I expect the Chargers to win this game against the Raiders and go, okay, let's move forward. Let's continue to have building blocks. They had a couple of major building blocks. I'm not going to sit there and just say straight out that this team stinks. Okay, I'm not saying that. In all honesty, if this team averages 16 points a game throughout the season, I won't be surprised. I think they can still win. It's not going to be the most exciting football, but guess what? If you win the game, that's where we're at. We aren't looking for excitement. We've had excitement in the past. We used to have Dan Fouts and Charlie Joyner and Kellen Winslow and all those guys before you were born. They didn't win. They couldn't win. So, you know, we got to win. The scoreboard is it. So I'm going to give you two positives right here before people freak out and start swearing at me and go nuts. One, Justin Herbert's back. Okay, Justin Herbert returns to practice, looks great, fantastic. That's the best news as a Charger fan you could ask for. Now, two, the earth is about to fall off its axis when I give you number two. I like what I saw from Quentin Johnston. I do. A guy, literally, his route running was better, and he was trying to catch the ball with his hands. The quarterback's going to give him the goddamn ball. He only caught one pass, but at the same time, he looked like a different receiver. Like, you could almost see the progress he has made. And a huge pat on the back. If he can sit there and build off that and turn into something that you can use, great. Because as you listen to this show, I was one of those guys ready to throw him away. I don't know if he was a lost cause or not. I liked what I saw from Quentin Johnston. Call me crazy.
Yeah. No, I don't think you're crazy. I think Quentin Johnston looks improved, which we all love to see. Easton Stick, I'm tired of it. I understand that he was on the team last year and you want to give him a fair shake. We know what he is. It's not fair to the other receivers. It's not fair to the playmakers on the team that he can't get them the ball. It's already been two games. He cannot muster a touchdown. He fumbles on the goal line. He throws an interception. Who knows if that was his fault or the receiver's fault? It's still an interception. Why not give Luis Perez a chance? You cut Max Duggan. You're down to two quarterbacks behind Justin Herbert. Why not give Luis a chance to start the game and see what you have from him? Because you would have never brought in Luis, in my opinion, if you thought Easton Stick was going to be your backup. You would have said, we're going to leave it the way it is. We're going to cut Max Duggan. We're going to keep Easton Stick behind Justin Herbert, and we're going to move forward. And when Jim Harbaugh says, Mario, I hear angels singing when Justin Herbert comes out. If you're Easton Stick, you're like, thanks, dude. Like, what? Like, dude, he should not be on the team, shouldn't be there. And it's kind of a waste of time, I think, to all of us Charger fans trying to evaluate this team. And you get frustrated because you don't know what you have in the receivers. Like, Simi Fehoko, who's on the borderline of making the team. Guys like Darius Davis, who are on the borderline of making this team as a receiver. He might just make it as a specialist, but you don't think these guys are giving a fair shake because the quarterback can't get them the ball.
And, you know, it's a frustration thing. If I was a receiver, I would make sure that every time we watch film, it's like, hey, the route was good. The ball was just terrible. Like, I'd point that out constantly. Like, hey, you know, just, you know, I'm a team guy. I just want to make out that, you know, Stick can't hit a field, you know, can't hit anything. Yeah, I can close my eyes, throw better football than him. I am complete with you. And the Harbaugh angel singing, I mean, just guys, keep the clip up of just him saying weird things all year because it's going to be coming nonstop. I'm with you, though. Easton Stick just needs to be, one, I think, put to the sideline and go, all right, give Perez a shot, or it's a get on the phone and call Ryan Tannehill time. Like, it just is. We saw it last year, and last year was big proof of it, of at one point this year, especially with your quarterback that's already hurt going into the season, there's going to be 1 or 2 weeks this year, guys, where we're not going to have Herbert. And this schedule goes to the Chargers' favor, right? Like you mentioned over and over again, the schedule's not that bad. Second easiest, I believe, according to Sharp Analytics. So it's not going to say like, oh, you know, you're going to have this gauntlet coming up of two games Herbert's going to miss. No, you're going to have some pretty easy little matchups that go your way. But we need a suitable QB to win those games, Dave. And if we don't have that, that could be the difference in between making it into the playoffs and not making it into the playoffs. I don't know about you guys, but like, I want to be in the playoffs. I'm tired of like not being in the playoffs.
Of course we do. No, of course we do. We all want to be in the playoffs. So here's the thing I was thinking in my mind. All right. You look at guys, as you said, the quarterback situation. And we're talking about as fans. We're talking about as quarterbacks and what happens if Herbert goes down. He has a history of getting hurt. He might miss a few games. You have to have somebody that's obviously capable of standing in. Now, look, Josh and I, we've said on the show, we like Luis Perez because he's a neighborhood kid. At the same time, there are guys on this roster that are trying to earn roster spots depending on the quarterback. Like, if you're Brendan Rice, you're calling home. And you're like, Dad, I can't catch the ball because no one can get it to me. You had Steve Young. You had Joe Montana. You're in the Hall of Fame. I got Easton effing Stick. You guys sound like a baseball player. This is BS. I'm going to get cut. I'm going to be tearing tickets at the AMC for Tremors 2 to come out. I'm going to be tearing tickets at the movie theater, serving popcorn. It sucks. That's what he's thinking. And Darius Davis doing the same damn thing and everyone else. If you're a receiver trying to make it on the Chargers, man, I feel so bad for you because this is honestly the worst quarterback play going. And the stats show it. Look, man, Dan Fouts, if you're watching the coverage when Dan Fouts is doing the game, he's like, you know, that's 10 points you're leaving on the board minimum. You know, you're turning the ball over in the red zone. You're fumbling. You're throwing interceptions. That's not solid quarterback play. Basically, a backup quarterback is a guy you just don't want to kill you. You just want to basically manage the game to the best of your ability without turning the ball over. You know, there are a lot of guys who made a lot of money holding clipboards doing the same thing when their name was called. Oh, for years, for 50 years in this league, Easton Stick can't do it. I'm sorry. If he makes the roster, and Josh, he is starting against the Cowboys again this weekend. You know, he's getting the start again. And that's the way it's going to go. Luis Perez, look, we're a fan. Dude, this guy literally said, and Josh said it, the guy was a bowler in high school. Didn't even play high school football. This guy taught himself how to play quarterback through YouTube and the playbooks that we had on the shelf in our garage. No joke. And we're depending on him. So he's your best option. Luis Perez looks great, but look who you're comparing him to. There are other guys out there more capable than this if you're really serious about winning this season and covering all your bases.
I just don't understand it. Dave always makes this analogy. If you were to go to a restaurant and the food was terrible, would you go back again, Mario?
Hell, no.
You're like, dude, I know what I have. I'm not going back to this restaurant again. We are going to this restaurant for 3 weekends in a row with Easton Stick. It's a bad restaurant. We got to stop going back there. Tannehill is okay being a backup. People are saying on the side he wants to start. Everybody wants to start. I want to be a starting quarterback in the NFL. It's just not going to happen. Ryan Tannehill is a backup, and he would be a great backup for Justin Herbert. When we had Phillip Rivers, we used to make jokes about the backup quarterback, right? Clipboard Jesus, Billy Volek, Doug Flutie. We knew that none of them were going to get in the game because Phillip Rivers is going to play. We're not in that situation. The backup quarterback is extremely, extremely important on this team. Easton Stick has got to go. I have no idea why they're starting him for a third game unless they're just waiting for somebody to get cut on another team to bring them in for the week one game against the Raiders. That's possible. I'm just tired of it, Mario. You can't keep doing the same thing over and over again and expecting a different result. That's insanity. So I'd like for the Chargers to start Luis Perez. It's obviously not going to happen. These guys aren't getting a fair shake. Brandon Rice, I do not think, is going to make this team. He hasn't done much to prove himself. Not saying it's completely his fault. Like Dave said, he can't get the ball. Simi Fehoko is the guy, to me, that I think might actually make the team. He's a big body guy that's proven he can make some catches in traffic, something the Chargers desperately need.
And it's also, I think, the tough thing for his receivers, and a lot of coaches talk about it. You know, you can only do so much in practice. As soon as you hit a game, it's all different, right? And the game speaks so much louder than practice. And any coach will tell you that. The fact that these guys aren't getting what they deserve because Stick just can't get them the ball. Dude, you're affecting careers. You're affecting lives. Like this, it's dumb. It's like you said, Josh, it's insanity. And it's the thing that can take the Chargers from being middle of the pack team, where we're stuck in purgatory, to the next level. If you want to go to the next level, if you want to compete, want to be with the big dogs, if you want to be in the conversation with the Ravens, if you want to be in the conversation with the Chiefs, if you want to be in the conversation with the Bills, you got to make moves like this, where like it's an important thing to do. The Colts got Joe freaking Flacco. Why did they do that? Because they know Anthony Richardson got hurt after, what, 3 games last year? And then he had shoulder issues in June. They did that to go, all right, well, we're in a tough playoff spot for the wild card. And AR just ran the ball for like the 20th freaking time that day and just got blown up by a linebacker. And he's hurt. Well, next week, what are we going to do? Well, we have Joe Flacco with years of experience that can actually just win us a football game for week one. You don't got to be a franchise quarterback, but he's got to be suitable for one freaking game. That's the Colt McCoy special. Make the move. Yeah. That's the next level.
Yeah. So here we go. For the Chargers, they've been outscored 29-12 in 2 games. I'm sure everybody's aware. I haven't scored a TD in 8 quarters. That's not good. That's not good. Luis Perez, again, 5-12, 61 yards against Seattle, 13 for 20. Against the Rams, much better, 78 yards. But again, the final preseason game is coming up this weekend against the Cowboys, as we said before, and then we're going for real. So Justin Herbert returning to practice, want to touch on that for a second. One is, we know he has a foot injury that could bother him the entire year. But at the same time, as people have said and written to us on the side, I've never had that injury. I don't think Mario or Josh have had that injury. They say it's one of those things that lingers. I'm all for what the Chargers are doing. Like, hey, let's not get used to it in the week before the Raider game. Let's start getting used to it now. You know, let's just get the mindset going. This is what it is. This is how you're going to adapt, and give them basically 2 weeks to prepare for the Raiders with whatever pain, discomfort you're feeling. This is how you're going to have to play quarterback this year. And I know as fans, they're really excited that Herbert's back. I mean, for you, as far as all of us getting excited for the season, how important is it to know Justin Herbert's return to practice?
It's extremely important, not just for the Chargers team on the field, but like the psyche of the team. Seeing Justin Herbert just walk around makes all the difference in the world. Like we said, Jim Harbaugh said he heard angels singing. Dude, I did too. I wasn't even at practice and I heard angels singing. I can't take the Easton Stick stuff anymore. So him just being out there, I think, is great for the team physically and mentally. When you see that the Raiders have an absolute cluster F at quarterback, it makes you even happier that Justin Herbert's going to be available for that game. I don't know if you guys saw the Peyton Manning rankings. He had Justin Herbert as the third best quarterback in the NFL. We're the show that believes in Justin Herbert as well. If you have the third best quarterback in the NFL, you have a chance to win every single week. If Justin Herbert's not on the field and we have what we've been seeing in the preseason, we're the number one pick in the draft. That's the difference Justin Herbert makes.
It's exciting, and you know, I'm obviously in the betting space. You know, BetMGM tonight. Shout out to it. Tune in tonight for Central 11 p.m. ET. But also, it shows like what the public and what people think of like even Herbert just stepped on the field. The line improved, right? So like the Chargers -3, -3.5 right now this afternoon, and there's probably more money coming because the over also went up, I believe, a point, and it did. Yeah, the over went up. So obviously people see this and go, all right, if Justin Herbert's going to be healthy, then that game's going to go a little bit differently than people expect it. Angels were singing. Jesus was singing. You know, I don't even know all the other religious leaders, whoever the hell they are, count them in too. Maybe they mentioned at the DNC. I don't know. I didn't tune in. But you mentioned something, Josh, that too, I want to go back to, like the Raiders announcing that Gardner Minshew is a starting quarterback. Dave, I feel like a telltale sign of every time in the NFL that the quarterback room is a cluster, you fill that blank of the word, is when they go, we chose this quarterback based off experience. That means, wow, so they both really sucked in camp and you guys couldn't make a decision, so we went with the guy that's played more games. That's what that screams out to me. Ladies and gentlemen, the Chargers are going to win and cover in week 1. And I've already bet it. I'm going to bet it again probably next week. And I'm probably going to bet it again on Sunday when I'm hungover and I forgot that I bet it.
Look, they get the Raiders again. Something I want to bring up on the show. Minshew is supposed to be the starting quarterback for week 1. Look, as you said, they both weren't very good. Just basically gave the job to the guy that's played more NFL games than the guy you paid a lot of money to during the offseason. Raider money, a lot of money to, not franchise money. But that was the decision they made. Basically, they picked the best of the two worst guys. The Raiders are in a disaster. You don't have a quarterback, you aren't going to win this league. If you just went from Justin Herbert, I'll tell you what. What do we say all the time to have a successful team? You have to have a quarterback coach combination. The Raiders have neither. Chargers have both, right? Of course, you're going to go with the Chargers over the Raiders in this game, I should say. And the schedule couldn't be in a better situation for Charger fans. This could be a lot worse. I mean, the first game of the season could be traveling to Cleveland. You know what I mean? And you're going against a defense that's one of the best in the NFL. And then all of a sudden, you're going against a Raider team that doesn't know what they are. And there's a lot of payback on that side. I think there are a lot of people in that locker room that remember what the Raiders did to the Chargers the last time they played. And then you have Khalil Mack, who acts like he was just released yesterday or traded away yesterday from the Raiders. He's still angry as hell, which I love, and has that huge chip on his shoulder. And there's Jim Harbaugh wants to get off to a good start. There's so many reasons why the Chargers are going to win game 1 that it is hopefully something to build on, and things work out great. You know, when this Cowboy game is over in the preseason and we move forward and we forget about what happened in the first 3 games and we say, hey, you know what? Maybe we learned a little bit something about our defense. Maybe our defense is better than what we thought it was. Now, at the same time, the offense has been so bad that you focused on the defense has done a pretty good job during preseason if you're looking for a positive. But I don't know about you guys. In the past, it always seems like the Chargers have had a pretty talented roster where it's tough to get down to 53. It doesn't seem like it's going to be too tough to get down to 53 with this roster.
Yeah, I don't think it's going to be that tough. The biggest challenge is going to be where they go with receiver. I believe they have 7 receivers right now. They're most likely going to carry 6. I'm curious to see who they end up cutting. But I think the Chargers playing the Raiders and Panthers in the first 2 weeks of the season is huge. I like playing a team that's not supposed to be in the playoffs in week 1. I don't like playing teams like the Miami Dolphins like last year. And when we played Tyreek Hill in the week 1 of the season, he just absolutely killed us. I like playing a team that you should beat. Get your confidence, especially the defense, right? You have Jesse Minter in there. You've never had this defensive coordinator trying to learn his system. The defenses look very good. Then you have Bryce Young and the Panthers in week 2. I think it's a great opportunity for the Chargers to get their confidence, to learn Greg Roman's offense in real time. We always talk about how the preseason, there's always a lag into the regular season because you sit your starters. This is a great opportunity for the Chargers, Mario. We should be 2-0 to start the season.
Hell, we should be 3-0. I mean, I see nothing in part of the Steelers either that gives me confidence in what they have going. They can't protect their QB at all. You know, I watch Fields and I see exactly what he was in Chicago, right? Where he makes this a play where he escapes the pocket, makes a great throw, and then he's in a settled pocket. There's a guy wide open running a seam route, and it's thrown to God himself. And then he catches it and goes, I don't know where the hell you're throwing with that, Justin Fields. I'm not Tim Tebow. So, you know, what are you going to do? I think they can easily go 3-0. They're not going to face any tough offenses. And, like, I know we really crapped on the preseason guys, but I really have been loving what I've seen from the defense. I mean, Jesse Minter looks like there's no kind of college to NFL transition for him. Like, he's really stepped up and been a pretty damn good defensive play caller so far. And Dave, I think the exciting thing for that is defensive coordinators, you know, unless you're like a Dan Quinn or the boy genius of Mike McDonald, they tend to kind of fall in the back in terms of coaching, you know, head coaching position, especially if, like, you know, a position opens up and you have a young QB kind of on the rise. Everyone trying to look for the offensive minds. When you have a great DC, man, that's huge. Cause then they're, you know, they're kind of going to stick around for a little bit because they're always kind of sliding those jobs. So I'm big on Jesse Minter, man. I'm really big on seeing what this defense can be, especially with these first three games when we can just freaking pound some teams in the dirt and like spit on them. Not really, but you know.
So it's funny. That's an interesting relationship with Jesse Minter and Harbaugh. Like, I could see him being one of those guys that if they do well, he's offered jobs and doesn't take them because it's not the right fit. Right. We'll talk about the right fit if as a coach, that his loyalty to Jim Harbaugh, that, hey, if I end up leaving for a head coaching job down the road, it has to be a good fit. It's not just one because the Panthers job is open. By the way, Mike G just said, what if the team starts off 0-2? Mike, what do you got to do that for? All right. We're doing the best we can here. We haven't scored a touchdown in 8 quarters. So here's what I'll say about that. Looking at the first three games, kind of touching what Mario just said, the Raiders are picked to finish third or fourth in this division. The Panthers are picked to finish last in the division, in their division, and the Steelers are picked to finish last in their division. Like, if this team goes 0-2, I don't know what to tell you. Like, I fully expect this team at worst to go 2-1 and to start the season off. 3-0 would be fantastic, but at minimum 2-1.
For sure. I mean, the best quarterback we face in the first 3 weeks is Russell Wilson. We should be 2-1 at the least. This Chargers team's good enough to be 2-1. When you have Justin Herbert and we have all the guys we've spoken of, they should be 2-1. We have the head coaching advantage. Also, his press conference is must-watch TV. I mean, win or lose, no matter what happens with Jim Harbaugh, you have to watch his press conferences. The way he talks to the media like he actually wants to jump off a cliff after these losses in the preseason are hilarious. He's so pissed, but he has to act like he's not pissed. I love Jim Harbaugh already way more than Brandon Staley. The Chargers team should be 2-1. We don't face any good quarterbacks. The defense looks very good. The corners look very good, which I'm so happy about. There is going to be a step up, right? When you start the season, you're going against some guys like Devontae Adams and who's on the Steelers? I'm drawing a blank right now. George Pickens, over there.
Yeah,
George Pickens. It's going to be more of a challenge, but you have to like what you've seen from the defense. This Chargers team should be 2-1. There's no reason they shouldn't be 2-1. The Raiders are such a mess right now. When your head coach says to the media, nobody won the job, this guy's just getting it by, I'm just delegating it to him. Like, dude, what kind of coach is that? Like, you got to lie a little bit like Jim Harbaugh does. I almost rather have Easton Stick than what the Raiders have. They look worse than the Chargers do.
They're going to win games 10-3 every week. 9-0. You know what I mean? Like, if they're going to win a football game, they're going to win. They're not going to be able to outscore anyone. And I've said this multiple times, and I'll say it again. Luke Getsy's calling plays, and he has no idea how to adjust to any quarterback in any system. He's not a good offensive play caller at all, and he'll make that even more of a worse situation. A little thing, Dave, that I want to point out now. I'm going to say this now on August 20th. When we play the Panthers, get ready for an early scare. And what I mean by that is I think the Panthers, like, out of those first three games, this is going to be my hottest take probably I've ever said on this show. Out of those three games, I think the Panthers is going to be the hardest game. I'm pretty high on the Panthers. I'm pretty high on Bryce Young this year. I am high on Xavier Leggett this year. I'm high on Dave Canales to win Coach of the Year. Like, I think that team's going to be a big turnaround. And usually those teams that have those big turnarounds, they're extra juiced up, you know, early in the season. So I think that game's going to be a closer game than we think. And it's going to be a game where, like, maybe the Chargers start off and, like, they go down a little bit, or, like, the Panthers go down and get a quick score to start the game. Chargers win the game, but it's going to be a little juicier than you think. And you guys can all timestamp that. And if that's bad, then Mike G, I want you to come into the chat, and I want you to give the most insulting insults you can ever think of me. AK, you still have to be nice.
There you go. And if Mario's wrong, that means he was just high.
Yeah, well, no, right, I'm not high. No, not high. I am at my work. I am not high.
Look, the Panthers, obviously, one of those teams is interesting because they're in a division that is there for the taking outside of the Falcons, right? No one expects a lot from that entire division. I mean, a lot of talk, Derek Carr's about a good trade to the Vikings. You're hearing all kinds of rumors going on that division's in complete disarray. But they have the worst owner in sports. The Panthers literally have the worst owner in all the sports. Like, the NFL should take away his team. Yeah. Bryce Young is in a bad situation. He has no weapons, everything else. We'll talk plenty of Panthers as we get closer, but I feel bad for a guy like Bryce Young, who's just stuck, especially when you watch the Chicago Bears give a former Panther $100 million. And you're going, that guy was on our team. Like, what are we doing here? So overall, you know, for the Chargers, I like where we're going. I know Jim Harbaugh probably is not sleeping a lot going, this isn't exactly the way I thought it was going to go. Maybe we're behind schedule where I wanted to be. But I think as fans, we see that too. And so overall, when Justin Herbert's back, so let's see what it really is. Let's see how much different this team looks in week one than the bland offense they've shown us. And the quarterback plays hasn't been great. I mean, Easton Stick's been bad, and Luis Perez has looked better, but he doesn't look like a number two right now either.
I don't think it's fair to Luis that he got brought in so late and now he has to compete for this job. I don't know why you just wouldn't get rid of Max Duggan to begin with, unless they really thought there might have been something there. Doesn't seem like there was. He didn't even get any reps in the last game. I hope Luis makes this team, not just because I know him, but because he deserves it more than Easton Stick at this point. This Chargers team, I'm curious how they split up the running backs when it comes to Gus Edwards and J.K. Dobbins. Who's the real number one? I think everybody's penciling in J.K. Dobbins to be, you know, the guy that gets all the carries. He hasn't proven that he can take all those carries. When he was in college at Ohio State, he was the man, right? That's a long time ago. He hasn't done that in such a long time. Taking that type of beating at the NFL level is a lot. Gus Edwards had 18 touchdowns last year. I think it's going to be closer than people believe. It's going to be between J.K. Dobbins and Gus Edwards. And you have other guys too. Kimani Vidal looked very good in the last game. Patterson has shown some glimpses. I think the Chargers are going to go running back by association more than J.K. Dobbins just taking the bulk of the carries, Mario.
I did too, and I want to bring this up to you guys because this was said last night, and I've been thinking about it all day. And I wrote it down on the wrong freaking notes that I had. I wrote it on a laptop one, and my laptop one's not sticking up with my phone, but that's a topic for a different day. People were talking about, and people, like, it got some traffic, Gus Edwards to have the most rushing touchdowns this year. And
all the NFL?
And all the NFL.
Wow.
And I got to say, like, I don't hate that thought. And I'm pretty high on that. Like, that could definitely happen, right? Like, the Harbaugh is going to pound the football multiple times. J.K. Dobbins, you said it, Josh. Hell of a player, right? But what, 9 games played in that last 2 years? Are we going to really count on him to freaking play a full season? I don't think so. So even if you say Dobbins is the starter week one, you know, if that even happens, who's to say that he even makes it through the full game? And who's to say he even plays the next game? I think that's like a pretty realistic thing for Gus Edwards to get enough touches where he could lead all in touchdowns this year. And, you know, I'm sitting here today, I'm a firm believer that I don't see CMC having the type of production he did last year. I think that's going to have a big drop off, and I think an injury is going to probably happen to him. I don't want it to happen, but I see that happening, Dave.
Yeah, none of that would surprise me. I mean, that's just the history of it. I mean, I think the Chargers even know they're going to use J.K. Dobbins for as long as they can. When he does get hurt, look, history is going to tell you he is going to get hurt. They know it. That's why you aren't even seeing him in preseason games. I mean, it's a matter of time. And unfortunately, here's a guy with a tremendous amount of talent, but the NFL seems like it's too much for his body. Like, he's one of those guys when they talk about making football an Olympic sport in 2028, flag football, that's where J.K. Dobbins should be playing. Because
we really teed you up for that.
The contact just seems that he can't last, man. I mean, over and over again, if you watched him play in college, he was insane. And then every year I'm the guy that drafts him going, oh, this is the year. And now he's on a team that I follow. It's one of those, boy, I hope he can last. Like, I hope this is the year, right? Rashad Penny thinks it's ridiculous what's happened to J.K. Dobbins. It's crazy. By the way, hats off to Rashad Penny, who says, you know, a week ago, I think people in the NFL know I'm the best running back in the league. And then 3 days later, he announces a retirement. So, you know, that was a lot of fun. Good job. It was a great career.
Who did that?
J.K. Dobbins, though, man. I hope he stays healthy. Rashad I wish nothing Penny. But the best for him. Rashad Penny. Do you remember Rashad Penny? San Diego State stud. Then played for the Eagles. Played for, was he with the Steelers? Was he with the
Seattle? He didn't say that. It had to be one of those fake accounts. There's no way he said that.
Yeah, he goes, I think people believe that
you get caught in fake account.
I'm one of the best.
No,
I get caught all the time. I'm telling you, this one is legit. This is legit.
No, you always say this. Yep. There's unless somebody can verify this in the chat, I don't believe Dave.
Mike, sorry, find it for me.
I think a huge bright spot is that Joe Alt has looked great. I think that is a position that you can really say if somebody looks good in the preseason, I think it's going to translate to the regular season. He looks really good. And I think the Chargers could have the best tackle combination in the NFL. And that was their goal, obviously, by drafting Joe Alt number 5 when you have Rashawn Slater at left tackle, who we believe is a top, 3 to 5 left tackle in the NFL. If they can create the space for J.K. Dobbins and Gus Edwards, I don't think it's crazy, Mario, for Gus Edwards to have more than 10 touchdowns this year as a backup running back. I remember when Melvin Gordon was the starting running back for the Chargers and Austin Eckler is the one that ended up shining. You could have a similar situation this year. And it's crazy to think that the backup running back had 18 touchdowns last year. If I'm Gus Edwards, I'm a little bit disrespected saying, dude, I'm the one that played last season. I was J.K. Dobbins' backup last season as well, and I'm the one that stepped up. I'm just going to do it again this year. That's how I would feel if I was J.K. Dobbins. I mean, if I was Gus Edwards. J.K. Dobbins to me is, if he does anything, Mario, I really think it's a bright spot because I'm not expecting anything from a guy that gets hurt all the time. Have you been monitoring the Keenan Allen situation in Chicago? What the Bears fans are saying about Keenan Allen?
Okay. Hit me with it, because I've seen all positive. I imagine you go positive.
They're saying he's overweight, that he's not ready to go. And I don't believe that, because I think Keenan Allen is going to be ready to go when the season starts. But they say that he's overweight by 20 pounds.
20 pounds?
20 pounds.
It's humid, man. How's he not sweating that off?
I don't know. I don't know.
They mentioned it in Hard Knocks. I mean, they showed it in Hard Knocks too, but it was well reported that like Jalen Johnson is just, I mean, he can't get anything on Jalen Johnson. Like, absolutely nothing. Now, granted, that's one of the better corners in the league, but he can't get a damn thing. The weight thing, I so bad want to defend Keenan Allen like to my grave, but the amount of times I've shamed Zion Williamson for being out of shape is also creeping into my mind and Joel Embiid. So I'm going to take all that argument and throw that aside. It's also in a media market too, though, Dave, where like Chicago is going to depict anything about you, especially when you're supposed to be this all-star stud. They're going to do anything about it. And Keenan Allen's known to be a big physical target. Like, he's not known to be this sprinter that's the fastest thing in the world. Like, he's known for his quickness and agility of just route running, getting to a spot, not a lot of yards after the catch. So does he really need to be, is it really that big of a war that he's a little overweight? No. He'll probably drop it. I ain't worried about it. Go keto. Start fasting. Carnivore diet. Listen to one Joe Rogan podcast, baby. I don't freaking know.
Okay. Look at that. Look at that. Keenan right there, man. If, as we all said, we're rooting for him. At the same time, if he doesn't do well in Chicago, it's not going to bother me at all. Like, he's not here. He wasn't willing to do what he could do to stay in a Charger uniform. I understood why he did it, but my days of rooting for Keenan and following Keenan all the way through, the zero time is going to go into it. I'm not going to sit there and look up every Sunday to see what Keenan did. It's not going to be one of those things I'm focusing on. That's just the way it is. One day I'll end up in the Chargers Ring of Honor. Fine. Guy was never a yards after the catch guy. He was a guy that could sit there, shake his defender, get his 7 yards, and he'd go down. Didn't like the contact. Fine. It worked. You know, at the same time, 20 pounds is a lot for a receiver. It's a lot. You know, maybe he's hiding
it all
in the
beard. He looks like Keyshawn Johnson. He looks like a fat ass.
That's not good.
He doesn't look good.
He does look
at the clip on Twitter that everybody's posting. Dude, Keenan Allen looks chunky. I'm not saying he's Jock Peterson chunky, but he's big, dude.
Does he have those?
If he was a tight end, he'd be like blocking tight end. Oh God. Look, I don't like dissing Keenan Allen, even though I don't like the way
it sounds like it all ended.
You're the one dissing Keenan Allen.
Claudia, I'm just like a big roast.
Oh, he looks big. He probably ate the big roast.
He looks. It's a little bit bigger.
Is it?
He's big, dude. And Keenan Allen can't afford to gain 20 pounds the way he plays his game. He has to be quick.
That's true.
Every receiver does. Remember Kelvin Benjamin? He gained like 40 pounds. And he had to switch to tight end. Like Keenan Allen is definitely not a guy that can gain weight. He has to fix that issue. I like Keenan Allen a lot more than I like Mike Williams. Like, I'll leave it at that. I'm not rooting for either one to have a great season this year because they're not part of the Chargers, but I am rooting for Keenan Allen a lot more than I am for Mike Williams. Like, I have a special place in my heart for Keenan Allen.
Yeah, I'm going to defend Keenan Allen to the day I die. So if he wants to be a little overweight, that's fine. I believe in that. I'll gain the weight with him. 20 pounds.
What does that do?
Here we go.
I will say this. Again, I'm not rooting for Mike Williams to get hurt, but I will be disappointed if Mike Williams plays 17 games this year.
Oh, dude, I'll be pissed.
Yeah,
I'll be so pissed.
I mean, it sounds ridiculous to say, but honestly, I'll be very disappointed if Mike Williams plays 17 games this year.
I already bet them to win that division, so I really hope he actually does.
Okay.
I need a lot of support there.
There you go. All right, speaking of it, since you're on the Bears real quick, you still watching Hard Knocks?
Yeah, can I complain really quickly about that, actually?
Go ahead.
Okay. All right, so I have to use a streaming service to watch it, and HBO, why the hell can I not watch it live? Why can't I watch it the next day? I have to record it like it's freaking 2005. Are you serious? This is so stupid. I couldn't watch it till freaking Thursday because it airs again at like Wednesday at like 3 a.m. when that should be like, I don't know, porn blasting like it's back in 2005. Remember when HBO would show porn? Does no one remember that?
I thought that was Cinemax.
Dude, I swear on my life because I woke up to it. No, dude, I swear on my life. I woke up to it with my best friend. I tapped him and I go, "This is the greatest day of my life."
Pause.
Now you guys take that wrong. Yeah. No, we were sleeping. I'll explain this whole thing. We're sleeping in the family room.
What?
Yeah, in my parents' house.
You live in Kentucky.
Two different couches. No, two different couches. And I woke up around like 3 a.m. And as soon as I woke up, looked at the screen, and there's just, it's live action. And I was like 12 years old, just, this is the greatest day of my life. I thought I was, for like 2 years straight, I woke up at 3 in the morning and I just went downstairs to that room. And I was just HBO.
Trying to relive the good old days.
I love that your family watches the show.
Yeah, I forgot about that part. But anyways, it's stupid. It's stupid that I have to record to try to watch Hard Knocks. Like, that frustrates the living crap out of me.
Okay, so as far as the show goes, I do like the show. I do like the show. Eberflus is going to be the problem, but I do like the show. I think if you're a fan like we are of a team that hasn't done extremely well over the last 100 years of the NFL, like, you have to feel pretty good for that fan base that maybe things are turning around, you know, that things are turning around for that city. And I've only been to Chicago one time in my life, but man, that is a Bears town. So, you know, good for those guys to have something to cheer for sure.
Josh, really quick, my dad, when they were visiting this past weekend, we're at a bar and they kept showing the Caleb Williams throw. And he looked at me and goes, "We did it. We got it." And I was, and it was the funniest thing ever. 'Cause I was like, "We didn't do anything." It's the fair moment ever.
Dude, I think the Bears did get it. Like, he looks great. Like, he's really good.
He looks so good.
And I know people aren't going to care about his nail polish and all that other crap if he plays well. Like, that's just how it goes with everything.
Yeah. Literally, like, no one's
Let's go to some questions.
Okay, real quick, let me give a couple NFL notes for you before you wrap up the show with the questions, okay? Just want to give you an NFL note. Bo Nix, doing great for the Broncos. Looks like he's the guy. Jaden Daniels, named starting quarterback for the Commanders this week. Jahmyr Gibbs, they said he will be 100% for week one, expected back as well. So good news right there if you're a Lions fan or you're getting ready for your fantasy football draft.
Yeah, let's start with the first thing you said with Bo Nix. Do you guys buy into Bo Nix being the franchise quarterback for the Broncos, or is it too early to tell?
I think it's too early to tell. I think it's way too early. I understand that Bo Nix hype, and I understand that he's looked pretty good in his preseason games. I understand that Sean Payne's doing this unbelievable hype up tour. Like, unreal. Someone give this guy a freaking Emmy for what he's doing. But Dave, I'm still gonna caution of, hey, let's see him against a real defense, a real game plan, and good luck throwing to that receiver core when someone has a good plan for you. And a good matchup. Like, I just think that's what's going to come all falling apart. So I'm not buying too much yet. Are you celebrating yet, Dave? Because you could be right.
he's the guy for this year. How's that? Like, for, I mean, this is a bad Broncos team. I do like, I don't hate the receiving core for those guys. I mean, Courtland Sutton's pretty good. Tim Patrick, when healthy, is pretty good. You know, at the same time, Bo Nix in this, with this team, this roster, I don't see the Broncos, you know, finishing above last place. I think that's a last place team. They got one outstanding defensive player. Otherwise, man, they have a roster full of guys that aren't very good. And it's going to be a long road. Not a Sean Payton fan right now, and I don't think any of us are. We're all rooting really hard against him. But for Bo Nix, he looks better than Paxton Lynch. Remember with all the hype when Paxton Lynch came out of Memphis?
Yep.
You know, he looks like looks better than that. Like, I think right now he's the guy for Denver. I'm not saying he's the guy for Denver in 7 years, but this year he's the guy for Denver.
Yeah, I think Mario makes a great point. When they start putting game plans together for you against real defenses, let's see how good you look. Good for him. I hope he sucks the rest of his career. we'll go to Alan. Mario says, should Easton Stank be waived if he sucks again? He should have been waived already. I can't say it enough. He should have been waived already. He shouldn't be on this team. We know what he is. Maybe Jim Harbaugh didn't watch his tape from last season because we know this is what he is.
Good pun, Alan. I like it. Keep that up. That's how you get your name on the show. And yes.
All right, go to Young West, if you could. It says, Dave, how many shots in are you? Never thought I'd hear you compliment QJ. No, but for real, he did get separation. He used his hands, and it was nice to see.
Zero shots in. I was happy to throw a compliment his way. I'm telling you, he looked different. And not just body in position, using his hands. Unfortunately, the quarterback's going to get him the ball to show a little bit more what he could do. But as far as looking different than everything we've seen leading up to this point, he's putting work in, man. And sometimes you got to sit there and reward that. Not saying it's going to translate him to being an all-pro wide receiver, but man, he was useless before. I mean, I'm telling you, just straight out useless. And now he looks like he's moving in the right direction where, I don't know about you guys, but when you go through a full season and if you don't show anything, you kind of give up on guys. Right there watching against the Rams going, man, I saw things that were there. Unfortunately, the quarterback is going to make him look a little bit better.
Yeah, I'm with you. I think it's only going to be up from here when Justin Herbert's out there. Let's go to the next one from Steven Land. It says, y'all are awesome. Thank you. How many jerseys do you each own? I own 3 Chargers jerseys. I own the powder blue Sean Merriman jersey, powder blue LaDainian Tomlinson jersey, and a white Derwin James jersey.
So I'm in a tough. How many do you have now, Dave? Do you have any?
No, you know, it's funny. The very first jersey I ever bought as a kid was Kellen Winslow's jersey. I think I was the only kid. I was living in Nashville, Tennessee at the time. I think it was like 11 years old after Kellen Winslow had that crazy game against Miami, maybe 10. And, I went and got a Kellen Winslow jersey at, it was like Champs or whatever. And I think I was the only kid that had one. And it wasn't white. It was blue, even though in the game he wore the white one. And I loved Kellen Winslow. Like I was a kid just discovering kind of football and how it worked, but they were the team that used the tight end. And I was like, who's this guy? And he's blocking kicks and he's doing everything. And it was awesome. And it was always funny because a few years later, you ever see the movie, The Karate Kid, Mario?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. Dude, so Daniel LaRusso just gets the crap kicked out of him wearing that Wes Chandler jersey. And I was like, God dang. Like, if I'm Wes Chandler, cool. Someone's wearing my jersey in a big-time movie. Oh, that's weird. He just got his ass kicked by a bunch of guys that look like Raiders. That sucks. You know, he just got the tar beaten out of him wearing that Wes Chandler jersey. And I was like, I don't know if it's cool to wear a Charger jersey anymore. So I have in the seat Josh is in right now to his right, you guys have seen on the show a million times, is a framed Junior Seau jersey, which I absolutely love. And I'm trying to think. We in the house, Josh, we do have a bunch of them, though. We have Merriman. I wish I had like a Rodney Harrison one. I was a huge Rodney Harrison fan. Ooh, and I really don't have one. I keep saying I'm going to buy a Justin Herbert, though. I'm going to buy a Justin Herbert jersey.
When he wins a playoff game, you'll buy it. That's the deal.
That's the deal. I wear it to Super Bowl 58.
I think I bought a Michael Bandy jersey, and I legitimately never got it. I'm like 99% sure that happened.
Really?
And or I did
only active NFL players. Is that why you didn't get
it? Yeah, that's probably true. Yeah, that's probably it. No, I had a LT was one of my first jerseys I actually ever got, and I had it for a while because at one point in time, Josh, I don't know if your parents did this. As I say, your parents, when Dave's right there. But, like, did you guys ever, like, they buy you clothes and they purposely bought it where it was, like, six sizes too big?
Dude.
And then you're like.
Yes.
My parents always did that. And they're like, you'll grow. It's like, okay, I'll wear this when I'm 18.
Dude, Dave got me a 5X Bill Russell jersey when I was in seventh grade, and I still have no idea why he did that. Like, I hate the Celtics.
We hate the Celtics. It was like $6, but it was authentic. It's the real deal. I was like, I can't pass this up. It's gigantic.
I'm like, dude, I'm never going to wear a Celtics jersey ever. Like, I don't – why would I do dude, that? I hate the Celtics.
Hold on, dude. I got a funny jersey story for you, dude. All right. So Josh's younger brother always wore Josh's clothes. You know, Josh is tall as hell, and his brother, even when Josh was – there's a five-year difference. So Josh would be like in sixth grade. His brother's in first grade. He'd wear Josh's shorts, which would go to his ankles, and wear his shirts, which are like two X's all the way down. They're just giant. I mean, they were like those big 06 FUBU shirts. Remember those? They were giant clothes. And so I get Josh one year. I don't know why I did this either, because we're Laker fans only. And I got him a Dirk Nowitzki jersey. Remember that? Do you remember I got you a Nowitzki jersey? Okay.
You've done this three times. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So Jake goes and he takes this Nowitzki jersey and he's wearing it. He's at a party and the cops come. And Jake's big as hell, dude. Jake's like 6'3", 280. And Jake freaking runs through the back of a yard. Cops are busting into the house and he freaking jumps the fence. And the last thing he hears is, "I see you, Nowitzki." Jake, who looks nothing like Dirk Nowitzki at all. You know what I mean? He looks more like Joe Alt than he looks like Dirk Nowitzki. But that's the last thing that he's telling me the story. I go, "You get away from the cops." He goes, "Yeah." I go, "What did they say?" He goes, "I don't know. Last thing I heard was before my ass went over that fence was, 'I see you, Nowitzki.'" And that was it. It was like, no one ever wore that jersey again thinking the cops were going to find you.
That was it. I remember my uncle, every time he came into town, shout out my uncle Brad, he would always like try to bring me and my youngest brother like gifts and stuff, because we were like still, we were the only youngest ones on the side. And he did a bar crawl in Detroit and got, I guess, too liquored up and bought like four Tupac shirts that were double XLs. I was 5'4 at the time. He came home and gives me them and goes, "Hey, I got you two shirts. What, two for you, two for Joey?" He goes, "Tupac's the best." And I go, "Oh, this is cool." And I looked at it and I go, "I could sleep in this. Like, this could be my comforter tonight. Like, this is insane." And as soon as I even go, "Oh, it's like a little big," and everyone goes, "You'll grow. Be grateful. You're going to grow." I'm like, "All right. Well, I'm 5'4 and I'm 15, so I don't know when the hell I'm going to grow." Like, shit.
What did your mom say when you got a Tupac shirt? She was cool with it?
She was just like, you're not wearing that to school. There's a photo of me. Oh, my God, I forgot about this. There's a photo of me grabbing my schlong and, Jesus, like, whoa. 11 years old, going, like grab it and, like, posing. Like I'm hard or not.
What? Good God.
Like, I, like, I'm from like a tough area. Like, I'm from the hood or something. Yeah. After I won like a basketball championship, and it was on the front page of Noblesville Times. And my mom was so pissed at me. She was, "What are you doing?" She's like, "You're in Noblesville. You grew, like, you couldn't shut up. Like, who do you think you are?" And I was just like, "I think I look pretty cool right now."
Oh my God. I got to show you a pair. I'm going to take myself out of this thing real quick, 'cause I want to get in. I want to stay with the jersey thing, but I got to show you something real quick. Wait.
The giggle. What's he going to do right now?
All right. It's exciting for people listening. Make sure you tune in.
Okay. Look, can you see this picture, Mario?
Oh, that's Notorious B.I.G.
No. It's not.
Who's that? Put it in the camera, dude. We can't see it.
Yeah, I'll put it in the camera.
Can't see it.
Oh, it's you, Tupac?
Yeah.
Put it closer to the camera. Dude, what are you, 80?
I can't see the
camera. There you go. Right there. You had it. Put it back.
You have it. You got it. No, go.
Go up.
There you go.
Yeah. Right there. That's good.
Okay. You know this famous picture? Suge Knight and Tupac?
Oh, and you did your face on it?
No, some listener did it. Made it look like I was the one driving Tupac before he was shot. It was the last picture before he was shot. And so people send this thing in to me all the time, but they put me as the driver. It looked like I was responsible for this whole thing. But I love that picture. I'm going to put it on a t-shirt.
You should put on a t-shirt.
All right. So real quick on the jersey thing, because people bring it up. Number one, I'm a jersey fan. I love when I go out and I see people wear their jerseys. I don't care what it is. I don't care if it's Cubs, Padres, Bears, Chargers, whatever. I like when guys wear the jerseys. I always like when people are the jersey police and tell you not to wear a jersey at a certain age or whatever else. I will say this. It looks really weird when you're 380 pounds and you're wearing a Justin Herbert jersey. Like that, when that 10 is kind of stretched out, like you kind of got to wear a jersey for your body type. Like if, dude, if you're 380, you kind of got to wear Joe Alt, right? Like it looks strange. Like, you know what I'm saying? You can't be 300 plus and wearing Keenan Allen's jersey. It doesn't look right. You got to go more towards the body type of the jersey you're wearing.
When the number's like small and there's like a lot of space.
No, it just looks like big guy, big jersey. It just doesn't like, it doesn't scream athlete, right? When you're seeing a guy that big wearing a quarterback, wide receiver's number. You understand?
Yeah, that's fair.
Okay. But no, I'm all for the jersey. I love when people represent their teams. Love it. And it's more like your guys' age where in bars or whatever else you see guys that wear jerseys, you know, it's kind of a thing.
Josh, what do you think about this? I think a football jersey is more acceptable at our age than a basketball jersey.
Because of the arms?
I think the arms. Yeah, because I think, you know what I mean? You think that's a pretty accurate statement, or is that a bad take? Baseball, too. I feel like baseball and football, they just look better. How about that?
Yeah, showing your arm, the tank.
Yeah.
Yeah, when you wear a tank, it makes you look a little bit younger, I feel like.
Yeah.
Demetrius Jones made me laugh. 375, you're wearing that King Dunlap jersey. Dude, now you got it. You see exactly what I'm saying. Right there. You know? You can't be 400 wearing Michael Bandy. Come on. It looks ridiculous.
I think we should end the show with, has anything pissed you off this week?
Yeah.
You know what? I didn't think about it. It's a good time overall. Overall, we're in a good time. We're about 10 days out from Josh getting married. Everybody's in a pretty good mood. I can't tell you how many people keep writing me and asking me, are you ready for this wedding? I'm like, dude, I'm just showing up. I'm not doing jack. I'm not doing anything. This is going to be the easiest day going. The only thing I'm looking at is that 10-day forecast to see how hot it's going to be. That's about it. It's going to be easy as can be. I'm in a good mood. Everything is going good. Family's already started coming to town, and everything is going smooth.
Josh, how about you? You excited?
I'm excited. Super excited. I got my bachelor party this weekend. Get married next weekend. I get to meet you for the first time in person next week, which is, me and Dave are really excited about that.
Can't wait.
It's fun, man. It's exciting. It's just really hot today. If you're in Southern California, you know what I'm talking about.
It's 90 degrees. It's like 88. It's 88. Yeah, no humidity.
I think it's like in the 90s today. It's hot, dude. It is hot. We are. I got pickleball in a couple hours. I got to sweat that out, but excited. Love me some pickleball.
It's about minus 10,000 I have swass at your wedding. It's coming in.
Oh, we all of us.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We're good. People are saying congrats to you, Josh. Everything good.
Oh, all right. Thank you.
You got any more? You guys were great on these comments. We didn't get to a lot of them today, but we appreciate everyone did this, the super chats. That's awesome. That helps us out a lot. That's cool. We appreciate that. All right. We'll wrap up the show. We'll see you guys
I got to tell my dad's story real quick.
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought you did. I thought that was the Bears one.
No, I'm sorry. No, there was a different one. We were at the all right, I'll keep it quick. So, Ford's Theater. Everyone knows where Ford's Theater is, right? In DC?
Yep.
All right. So, we're in Ford's Theater. Across the street is where Abraham Lincoln died. And it's like a building and everything. You can go visit it. We're in line for that building. And it is a long-ass line. And you have to go across the street to get your tickets, and then you have to come back. And so my dad goes across, and he's like walking back. And funniest thing, my mom goes, Kurt, is that – sorry, Dad, for saying your name. Is that Ford Cedar? And like my dad, just with the best comedic timing that he didn't even mean, just goes, yeah, it's where he got smoked. Right there. Abe got smoked. I just started losing it and laughing because everyone looked at him like, who is this guy? Just not a fan of it, but I've never laughed harder than him. Just going, yeah, it's where he got smoked. And he just starts to look at it and goes, Abe, it's where he got smoked. And just checks in line. He's in a Florida Bahamas shirt, freaking white shorts. Jesus.
Did you guys see Sunday Night Baseball the other day? When they asked, they did with the big league players, they do with the little league guys in the World Series right now.
Oh my God.
You saw the person you want to meet?
What happened? What happened? Okay, go.
They're like, who the person you want to meet? He goes, Abraham Lincoln. I'd like to pick his brain. And I was like, what the hell, dude? Yeah. How's the ESPN air that stuff?
I don't know.
ESPN's really lost their fastball. Like, can we say that?
Yeah.
Like, dude, you got these kids in the Little League World Series. It says, like, personally like to meet. It's like adult film actresses. It's like, dude, who? There's no gatekeepers at this company. Like, how does nobody, like, see that?
Yeah.
It's crazy. I mean, I love it, but it's like, how does that happen to ESPN? I think it's hilarious, but it's, God, come on, ESPN.
Yeah. Speaking of that, too, like, when I was in a museum, I found that I'm not mature yet because you know how they have those things where you're like, write what this means to you, and it shows up on the wall?
Yeah.
You know what I'm about? Yeah, first instinct still was to draw a penis. First instinct. Like, I literally did it without even thinking about it. I went straight to it. And I already saw a drawing. And I had to, like, stop myself. I'm like, what am I doing?
Yeah, what are you?
What am I? Guy from Superbad? 25. Yeah. 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 I literally stopped myself. I was like, dude, what am I doing with my life? And then I just, my mom's like, oh, it was at the Bible Museum.
My mom's God.
Are you writing something
God.
Special about the Bible, sweetie? You've been reading it? I was like,
yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Actually, have not. Yep. Sounds good. Love you, mom. Let's go somewhere else.
Good God.
That's funny.
Yeah. Oh my God. That's funny as hell. There you go. All right. Yeah. Show always ends in a mess. I'll try and find something to be angry about on Thursday since you guys always ask me what I'm angry about. But so far, so good. Appreciate everyone that contributed to the show. Again, if you're going to watch the show live and you leave comments, we're seeing them as they roll up. Sorry we don't get to all of them. We do see every single one of them. If you're not watching the show live, you're watching on YouTube later. Go ahead and leave your comments. We'll get to all those as well. But we're excited, man, about this Charger season. Yeah, disappointed they aren't scoring touchdowns in the preseason. Really excited about Justin Herbert coming back. I gave you a positive about Quentin Johnston. And, hey, the big positive is the NFL season starts very, very soon. All right? And they're facing the Raiders and the Panthers the first 2 weeks. So hopefully we get off to a really good start and get excited about that as well. Thank you guys so much for listening to this show, following this show. Thumbs up, subscribe, all that stuff helps us out. Mario Herron, Josh Pelle, I'm Dave Pelle. We'll see you on Thursday, 1 o'clock Pacific time.